So, good morning and welcome to the last riveting episode in the sermon series on Abraham. Now, I don't know about you, but I like trees, particularly big trees. Now, I quite often go walking around Emerton Park with the dog, and there's a couple of trees over on the far side of the lake, which we used to call, we nicknamed them as Woodpecker Central, because there were so many woodpecker holes in these trees, and we have actually seen a woodpecker going into one of those. Now, one week we were walking around there, and there were some barriers up around the trees, which rang some alarm bells. And the next time we went round there, the trees were gone. They'd been cut down. And we wondered, well, why was that? Were they perhaps diseased? They were very old. Were they perhaps just too big? Or perhaps was it a health and safety reason? Was it that they were starting to shed branches and it was dangerous for people to go underneath them? Well, mighty trees like that actually hold secrets, don't they? When they're still standing, they hold secrets. We wonder what actually may be hidden in their branches, whether there are any birds' nests there, whether the woodpecker holes were actually made by woodpeckers, whether there were bees and wasps there as well, or whether perhaps those trees were diseased. Were they healthy inside, or were they actually hollow? And it's only really when that tree's been felled and on the ground we can actually get inside it and see what it's like. We can calculate its age from the rings. You know, there's a way of calculating the age of a tree by looking at the rings within the trunk of that tree. So you can find out whether it was actually healthy or whether it was just hollow. And we can find out what life was supported by that tree. And of course, trees like that may well grow, may live on through their children, if you like, the seeds, the acorns and the conkers and so on that those trees may produce. And so it is with people too, isn't it? It's only after they've gone that we learn that all the secrets of their lives and their legacy lives on. So yesterday we are looking at taking our final look at one of the characters in the Old Testament, Abraham. As we heard last week, he's now died at the age of, well, a pretty healthy age of 175. And he's been gathered to his people and laid in the cave that he bought for his wife Sarah. And his legacy really in terms of people has started, because from two wives and one mistress he had eight sons. So after a very late start he actually became a father of many. And all the secrets he may have hidden in life are now laid bare, and we can look back on his life and hopefully learn something from his example. And we're going to do this today from a slightly different perspective, from a New Testament perspective. We've been looking at his life chronicled in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. But now we're going to look at a couple of mentions in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11. And this is, remember, this is thousands of years, probably 4,000 years, looking back at the things that the Bible writers thought were important about Abraham's life. Now in Romans 4, Paul uses Abraham as a prime example of faith, and specifically how Abraham became a friend of God through his faith, not by his works. You remember his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was made right with God because of his faith, his obedience, his trust, his hope for the future, not because of the things that he actually did to please God. And when speaking about Abraham's death last week, well, his death wasn't last week, but when speaking about it last week, Sid used this passage to give us a gospel message, didn't he? Because we too can be made right with God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, not by the good things that we may do to please God. If you missed that sermon, then look it up on the website where you'll see, or hear, most of the sermons going back over the years. So Abraham was described in verse 11 of Romans 4 as the father of all who believe. He's the key historical figure in Jewish, Muslim and Christian faiths. And many Jews, Arabs and some Christians can trace their ancestry directly back to Abraham, as could Jesus. As God promised, he would be the father to countless generations. But this week, in our final lesson from Abraham, we're going to concentrate on the passage in Hebrews 11, which centres more on faith in our daily living. If you'd like to look at it, it's actually on page 1209 in the Church Bibles. And in chapter 11, the writer to the Hebrews singles out 10 great men and women from Old Testament times who were praised for, recognised for their faith. And of these 10, Abraham gets star billing. The passage lists three key areas where Abraham's faith shone through: his obedience, his belief in God, and his trust. And the first of those is described in verses 8 to 10 of Hebrews 11. When God called on Abraham to go, he went, even though he didn't even know where it was he was going. Now, I've got quite a love of maps. I don't know if you're the same. I love maps. Always have done. And for a brief spell, I used to collect old Ordnance Survey maps. And wherever I go, I like to have a map of the place I'm going to. And I always like to look on a map to see how to get there. I always like to have a clear route to where I'm going. And I'm even coming round to the idea of a sat-nav. So when we were coming back from Cornwall during the week to South London, we were following a detailed map, and that map often changed as the quickest route became available because of hold-ups in the traffic elsewhere. So it was great, and I was very impressed with it. It wasn't infallible. It didn't stop me nipping round one corner in the dedicated bus lane. So I'm praying that there weren't any cameras on that corner. Anyway. But Abraham didn't have any of that. He didn't even know where he was going. So for him to go wasn't an easy decision, was it? He was already old. He was 75. His wife was 65. They'd be leaving behind their family. They'd probably be leaving behind their security and a lot of their possessions, probably a wealthy family, to take up this sort of nomadic life in tents, not knowing what they were going to find when they got to wherever they got to, and they didn't know what the dangers were going to be on that journey ahead. But God called him to go. So go he did. So are we that obedient? If God calls us, would we go? It's unlikely to be on a journey with an unknown destination like Abraham, but it may be to go somewhere else. It may be to do something new. It may be to do something that's outside our comfort zone, something that we don't think we're capable of doing. Are we confident enough to step out of that comfort zone so that we have to rely on God? And if you think about it, if Abraham had actually known every detail of where he was going to go and what he was going to get when he got there, he wouldn't have needed faith to actually make that decision, would he? It would have just been a fairly logical decision. Similarly for us, isn't it? When there are times when we have to step out in faith without knowing where that step's going to lead us. So Abraham was commended for his willingness to answer God's call. He was also commended for his belief in God. He believed the promises God made to him. He believed God's promise of a home in a promised land. Even when he arrived there and continued to live in tents rather than a permanent home. Even when he didn't know anybody there, he didn't know who he could trust. He didn't know who he should be avoiding. Even when he didn't know the culture of the local people, he believed he was where God wanted him to be and that God would sort out the details to fulfill his promise. Of course, he's also commended for believing that he would father a great nation and his descendants would be like the stars in the sky. And remember, that promise was given to him when he was already old. And his wife was already old, beyond normal childbearing age. And she'd been barren, she'd suffered decades of infertility. But he believed what God had promised to him. So do we take seriously the promises and commands that come from God? Do we read the Bible and do our best to follow the examples that are given? Do we make every effort to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God? Do we believe that God has promised a place for us in heaven? Do we believe that God can do things through us that seem to us to be impossible? Well, the third and final commendation for Abraham in this passage in Hebrews is for his trust in God, even though he was facing some horrendous testing circumstances. Some weeks ago, you remember, we looked at the familiar story of Isaac, the son that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah, and now God was telling Abraham that he had to sacrifice that beloved son. Remember how they'd gone off on the journey with everything that was needed for that sacrifice? They'd taken the fire with them, they'd taken the fuel. They'd taken everything, in fact, except the sacrifice itself. Remember how when they got to the place, Abraham sent his servants away, but showed his trust by saying that we will return. Not just Abraham, but both would return. How was God going to do that? Remember how Abraham got to the point of actually raising his sword to kill Isaac on that altar when God intervened and provided a ram to use instead as the sacrifice. So Abraham passed that test, didn't he? Even in the most extreme circumstances, he believed that God would provide. He trusted that God would not go back on his promise of a nation through his son. So how far do we trust God? Well, we can pray that we never have to face a life or death decision like Abraham did over Isaac. But when things are not going our way, when we're facing maybe just the everyday issues in life, maybe issues with our health or relationships, with employment, with family, do we trust that God will bring us through? Do we seek his guidance through his word or by the Holy Spirit? Or do we prefer to trust our own instincts? Or our own intuition, or maybe just pure logic. The good news is we have a God who can be trusted. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a God who cannot be trusted? Well, that would be like putting our trust in other human beings, wouldn't it? And we all know that that can lead to disaster, disillusionment, damage, and many other things that begin with D. All people have flaws, which is why it's dangerous to idolize, isn't it, those who are still alive, because of the damage that can be done when these flaws come to the surface. And that was true too of the biblical characters. All of them had flaws, with one obvious exception. Jesus, of course. He was perfect and flawless. So Abraham too had his flaws, and we can learn from those too. Those flaws show that he was human, and he could fail, just like we do. Remember in the early part of the story when he was in the promised land, famine struck, there was a drought, and instead of staying where God had promised him to be, he fled to Egypt. That was always going to lead to trouble, wasn't it? And what was worse was, to save his own skin, he lied about Sarah, saying that she was his sister, not his wife. Yeah, that was pretty devastating, wasn't it? He wasn't too worried about Sarah being taken into Pharaoh's harem, as long as he saved his own skin. And when his deception was uncovered, maybe he thought he'd got away with it. Because he tried the same stunt later on, didn't he, when he encountered King Abimelech. And not only that, he wasn't honest with Isaac, his son, because he obviously didn't pass on the warning about lying to him either. So when we read a bit later on in Genesis, Isaac pulls exactly the same stunt with his wife Rebekah. We all know how lies can come back to haunt us. And Abraham was sometimes impatient, and when he was impatient, he took his advice from the wrong people. Sarah suggested that Abraham should hurry on God's plan for children by sleeping with her servant. How was that ever going to be a good idea? And indeed, it only led to trouble, didn't it, with Ishmael, the product of that union. So as we come to the end of our sermon series on Abraham, let's remind ourselves of those three key principles highlighted in that Hebrews passage today. Firstly, wherever God leads, we should follow. We have an inbuilt sat-nav in the form of the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to his guidance. We need to carefully consider the direction we should go in all situations. And we need to trust God when that direction may seem to take us out of our comfort zone. Maybe taking us into something different, something new, something scary even. Maybe it's to stop doing something that we're doing. Wherever God leads, we should follow. Whatever God promises to us, we should believe. Familiarize yourself and myself with those promises by immersing yourself in his word and believing and trusting that God will and can fulfill all of those promises. Whatever God promises, believe. And whenever God tests, trust in him. Being a Christian is not always going to be easy. We face trials and tribulations just like everybody else. But we have God's power and his love to help us through. So whenever God tests, trust in him. We are on a journey, probably not as dramatic and memorable as that of Abraham, but it is a journey nonetheless, isn't it? Our lives are a journey. We need to take our direction from God, to be obedient and trusting, and believe that we too are friends with God. Amen.